is into deep water. And how many of you women have drugged your men out here? I don't mean drugged the men, but dragged your man out here tonight. But we're gonna have I think a good time in the Word, and it's good for us. And if there's any young people listening tonight, they need to take some notes. They need to be ready, because someday they're going to grow up, or they're going to fall in love, and they're going to be thinking that he or she is the right one, and maybe he or she is the right one. But what does it mean? As we go through our mini series on life in the Bible, we're looking at tonight being a Christian while being a husband. And what does that mean? What does a Christian husband look like? And the world is asking that question. A lot of people want to know, and a lot of people think they know. But we're going to be looking at some things, and of course, time doesn't permit for us to go into everything, but we're going to cover 10 things tonight regarding a Christian husband. And so tonight, just by show of hands, how many of you are single tonight? Raise your hands. Single. Wow. Hands down. How many of you are married tonight? Raise your hands. Okay, wow. Overwhelming. Very, very good. Father, we pray that you'd bless, Lord, our time together right now. Thank you, Lord, so much for that worship and Dominic and the band, and Lord, just bless those guys everywhere they go. And we thank you, Father, that you've provided for them venues that we'll never get into. And so wherever they go, may, Lord, their worship and with their music ministry stimulate others to come and ask, what is it about them? And Father, we pray that tonight, that you would touch us, not only as Christians, all of us tonight, because your word will penetrate all of our hearts tonight. Doesn't matter if we're male, female, married, single, whatever. The truth is, Lord God, tonight we pray that you would galvanize Christian husbands, and Lord, may it change not only those in which we come in contact with, but the world that watches. So, Lord, bless now your word to our hearts. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles and turn now to our theme portion of Scripture as we go through this mini-series on being a Christian while being a husband. And as we look at that, Colossians chapter 1, and by the time we get out of this series, I think you'll be an expert on these verses. Colossians chapter 1, beginning there at verse 9. So all husbands, listen up. For this reason, Paul said, we also, since the day we heard of it, that is of their faith and of their walk with Christ, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father who has qualified us, key word there, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And as you look to the screens, we're looking at, well, we just ran out of. There you go. What does a Christian husband look like? And you saw on the screen pictures of people, as we've been stressing every week, normal. They look normal. They look like guys. But it's that which resides in the heart that makes the difference. And what comes out of that heart is what is expressed by the hands and by the actions and by the mouth of the man. And so as we look at being a husband as a Christian tonight, these things we want to jot down. And let me say, I'm going to say some radical things tonight. First of all, because I am a Christian first, and I'm a husband. How do you bring those two things together? And what does that look like? Now, I got to tell you, a lot of what I'm going to be talking about has to do with personal experience and what God has hammered into my life over the course of these last 30 years. But also, there are things that in every one of these points that I bring up, all of us as men will strive to gain until the day that we die. Do you understand that? It is vital that we understand that we as Christian men are men who are growing. A Christian man, a Christian husband, I believe personally, and I'm not kidding about this, it is the most powerful calling that God could place upon a human being. Now, all the women would say, not true. It's being a mother, bringing a child into the world. Okay, that's fine. And we'll talk about that in the days ahead. That's great. But you know what? A Christian man who's a husband holds a very, very unique position. I'm going to ask you to jot these things down tonight. Mark it down. A husband has been given a unique position by God that is absolutely worthy of our attention. And tonight I want you to be battling against your emotions and your thoughts and your memories of either how a husband has failed you or how maybe perhaps you have failed as a husband or some sort of interruption that might try to creep in. We need to be strong people tonight to go through this. Number one, a unique position. Men, we have been given by God a position of being a husband that is unlike any other calling in all of the world. And a husband's position, listen, is a type. It is a representation on this earth, in a family, in a home, to express the nature of God. You say, well, you're right. That's a radical statement, Jack. Well, listen, the Lord refers to himself as a husband. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says so. The Bible says in Isaiah 54, verse 5, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. So God refers to himself, to the nation of Israel, God the Father. By the way, your Old Testament announces that God the Father is married to Israel. Isn't that interesting? Isaiah speaks about that. The prophet Jeremiah speaks about that. Very, very interesting. God says regarding his relationship with Israel, it is one as though she is a wife to him and he is a husband. And a Christian husband is a type, is a manifestation of the nature of God in our world around us. Meaning that a wife should be able to look at her husband and see and watch attributes coming along and growing along that speak to her of this man being a picture or a type of the Lord. That's radical. That's amazing. You say, well, Pastor, that is radical because I could never see my husband as having those kinds of things. And we're going to be talking about some of that stuff tonight. Number one, I'm not asking you what kind of husband you are. I'm telling you the very position that God has given you as a husband is ordained by God and it is a high calling. And this world needs to see sold out godly husbands again, like never before. It's amazing. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, even the church. Now, the New Testament speaks about Jesus Christ being engaged to the bride of Christ, which is the church. Don't you think that's powerful that the Lord relates to his people, Old Testament and New Testament, in a context of marriage and as he is the husband? 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God. God has his chain, as it were, of government, you could say, or relationship, you could say. There's a certain pattern. I have to tell you, I'm going to speak on behalf of every honest man in this church tonight. Us guys do not feel worthy enough to be a husband. It is an amazing thing. Most men, church, are you listening tonight? Most men pull away back up from the call of being a husband, and that's a shame. Of really being a husband. Some people might say, maybe you're here tonight, you're visiting, and you're wondering, well, what is a husband? And what is a Christian husband? The Bible's very clear about these things, and we'll look at them tonight. But the number one thing is to realize, guys, that God has called us to a very unique position. And I'm not going to beat you up tonight, guys. I'm going to, by the grace of God, lift you up and encourage you to step up or into that calling that God has placed upon your life, that you are a Christian husband. It is an amazing thing. Now, we've got 10 things to cover. This number one being a unique position. I've established the fact that God speaks of himself as being a husband, that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians 5:23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Wait a minute, ladies. Wait, wives, don't leave. Just wait a minute. The husband is the head of the wife as, you ought to circle that. Every lady, you're going to want to circle this. as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. You're saying, Jack, you're driving me crazy. Oh, but wait. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. And all the ladies said, and frankly, all the men should say, amen. Because you know what? All of a sudden, hey, I don't need to run away and stick my head in the ground because I'm a husband. Don't listen to Hollywood. Have you noticed that almost, I think almost or all, I don't know, maybe all is a big statement, but look at the husbands in Hollywood on TV. Are they not a bunch of bumbling nincompoops? They don't even know how to buy a car. They can't shop. They've got to ask their wife about, where should we get the transmission fixed, honey? Men on TV have been whittled away to nothing. Husbands that are portrayed by Hollywood are just absolutely incompetent, bumbling fools. Have you noticed that? Do you think there's an agenda about that? Of course there's an agenda about that. To undermine and to destroy what God has established. The Bible says in Ephesians, I just read it a moment again, that the husband is head of the wife. And all the women just freak over that. But what wives don't realize is that if you read it in context, as the husband is head of the wife, that word implies, as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? All the way. Jesus went all the way to the cross and died for the church. He died for the world. He died for the lost. He died for us. So how much is a husband to be sold out for the wife to the point of death? And that's no joke. Absolutely confirmed in Scripture. If we would live what God would have us to live. This is the will of God, that we as husbands would walk in such a way that our wives would be delighted to say, hey, he's the head of the house. If it's done biblically, see, we get this mindset that it's some chauvinistic, totalitarian, horrible thing for a man, according to God, to be as the head, and that word means the first one to be slaughtered. And that's what it means. Woman, I'm the head of this house. Hey, girls, you just say, that's right, sweetie, you are. Lay it down. Let's go out in the backyard, sweetie. We're going to crucify you right now. I'm just kidding. Think about that. That we are to love her as Christ love the church. So here's our homework, guys. You're going to wonder down. I'm going to give you 10 bits of homework. And by the way, if you're engaged here tonight, I'm not going to ask you to show your hands. If you're thinking about you got the right one there, listen to these things. Listen to them. This is free counts. It's free. This is free. Look, there's no offering. You're not paying for nothing. Everything's free, so you have to listen. Here it is. Mr. Husband or Mr. Husband-to-be, here's your assignment. Or maybe I should just stay the Mr. Husband, because there's going to be some other assignments that Mr. Husband-to-be ain't got the privilege yet. Here's your homework. Step up into the position that God has given you guys and begin to model how much God loves Israel, loves his people, is how much you ought to be loving on your wives. And I can feel the vibe coming from the men. Pastor, if you only knew my wife. God doesn't ask us that, does he? He says, love her. And I'm a firm, firm believer that when we really begin to love our wives, it's easy to complain about them. It's a different thing to love on them. And when we begin to do that, because of the position that God has called us, you know what? We'll see by the end of this message that God has granted the Christian husband the power. Listen, the power to put it into the heart of that woman. If she needs changing, not changing to your standard, changing as she grows in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ to his standard. That's an important thing. Oh, I'm going to marry this guy. I'm going to marry this girl because I think I can change them into the person that I'd have them to be. Ain't going to happen. No way. No, we are going to love her because Christ loves the church. That's the argument. Point number two, being a Christian while being a husband. What does a Christian husband look like? Number two, he has been given by God a unique responsibility. Men, you and I have been given a unique responsibility that only you can fulfill in your home. And only a husband, a Christian husband, is to take upon himself the responsibilities, listen, and burdens of the wife and of the home. That is to be upon the man's shoulders. I cannot quote to you. I was reading yesterday on a flight. I was speaking in Tucson, Arizona yesterday at a conference. And I was reading on this program a speech by George Patton, General George Patton. Now, that guy had some colorful language, I found out reading his speech. But he was talking about being soldiers and going to battle. And he was talking about, okay, pretty soon we're going to be getting off this boat or whatever. We're going to be heading head on to the Germans. And he talked about doing all that stuff. And he said, you know, if you're going to be a coward, just let us know. And we'll shoot you right here, right now. Get you out of the way. Because we don't want anybody to get hurt. Isn't that great? If you're going to wimp out on us, we'll just shoot you now and get you out of the way. So nobody stumbles over your cowardly body on your way to war. And he told them, he said, guys, listen up. You want to hit the beach running and be fearless? Now, every soldier would say, yes, help me. And he said, all right, consider yourself already dead. That was his encouragement. When you hit the beach and when you storm those German strongholds, just consider yourself already dead. Just bank on just being blown up. Now listen to that. You think about that as a husband. I'm not talking about saying, oh, that's it. Just shoot me. I'm going to get married. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the responsibilities that God has placed upon the husband cannot be handed to anybody else. And we need to man up and be a husband. If she's panicking and bearing the load, what's wrong with us? There's no excuses. God's word is all sufficient. If you and I, listen, let's be honest. If you and I feel inadequate about being a Christian husband, what is our source of strength? This book. Were you here on Sunday? Remember, we talked about Facebook, face in the book. Facebook. When your face is in the book, you'll be strong. Very, very important. So it's a unique responsibility that God has called us to. And the husband is to be the spiritual leader of the home. The husband is to be the one that sets the theme in the home about really the things of Christ. And every man is overwhelmed at just that statement. I can't do it, Pastor. None of us can do it. But we begin. And that's how we grow. And you've got to start somewhere. It's so vitally important. And that somewhere is just simply putting your hand on your wife's head or shoulders or grabbing her by the big toe and massaging her foot and praying. Dear Lord, bless her day to day. Anoint these feet wherever they go. Keep her safe. I'm serious. You're laughing. What are you laughing about? I'm dead serious about this. Right? And you rub her feet and you tell her, Lord, you rub her feet and say, God bless her and keep her today and keep wolves and freaks away from her today. Watch over our marriage. I'm dead serious. Every Christian man has to do this. You got to do it. We're storming the beach every day of this hell-bent world that we live in. Bent on destruction and destroying the culture and itself. And husbands, our wives go out into that world. You say, well, my wife doesn't work. She goes to the grocery store. And we hear about predators in grocery stores who walk around grocery stores looking for women in grocery stores to hit on. It happens. One guy not too long ago was driven out of town doing that. Wolves. Men, we are to be responsible for our wives and loving on them and taking care of them, being responsible for them. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with your wife with understanding. Impossible. Takes prayer. God will give you the understanding. I'm telling you. So how are we going to do this? It's all impossible. God will give you the strength and the ability. Ain't no man dwelling with his wife according to understanding. That's not even possible. She doesn't understand herself. Why did you say that? I don't know. Peter says, dwell with them according to understanding. God help me, Lord. Come down, rend the heavens and give me understanding. He'll do it. Giving honor to your wife. Listen, this is awesome. As to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together in Christ and the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The Christian man is to understand that both he and her are heirs to the kingdom of God. And by the way, he's not 3 inches taller than her. He's not up on the... Look, what do you mean heirs? I'm going to get more than you, right? Because I'm the man. No! We're all one in Christ. Yeah, but it said weaker vessel. You know what that... A lot of people want to argue. The wife's the weaker vessel. Do you know what the word means? The word means that she has been created by God more physically tender than us. That is a good thing. It doesn't mean she's got half a brain. There are religions out there that believe that a woman was created with a half a soul, a half a brain, and that religion's growing all over the world at gangbuster rates. I don't get it. Hey, come join our religion. Women have half a brain. Sign me up. No, God says the same. See, well, what about the weaker vessel? She is more tender. And I don't know about you, but that's a good thing. God's awesome, you know? He makes men just kind of like a truck. And women are like, you know, like a Ferrari. A truck, you just drive around dirt and rain and you back it up. You push shopping carts out of the way with it. A Ferrari man, you got a... Ferraris are funny. Porsches, those kind of cars. I don't have one. I'll never have one. I'm sure God will never let me have one. But I could imagine. And, you know... You got to be careful how you drive it. In fact, there's some cars so technical that you can't even take it off the lot and buy it. You have to be trained how to drive it. Seriously. And then you have to wipe it this way. And let me tell you, when a man is that committed to a car, he just starts talking to it. Women are like that. They're just different. And they're tender. When this is the weaker vessel, that's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. So, number two, here's our homework. Guys, our assignment is this. Your wife is the second most important person in your life. Who do you think number one is? God's number one. Your wife's number two. If you have kids, they're next. You're somewhere down the... I thought it was me. It's not you. If God's number one, she's number two. Aren't I number three? Well, maybe. If you have kids, you know, just buy a really good dog, and that's your friend. And you know, because you got kids, it's just you got about the next 20 years before things get back to normal. You know, it's not about us, guys. Our responsibility as being a Christian husband is awesome. I don't know about you, but I dig being a husband. It's hard work. It's also spectacular. It's a lofty calling, and it's something. Point number three, a husband has been given a unique love. A unique love. Unique. Amazing. A Christian husband's love is to draw his wife closer to God. His love for her should, listen, cause her to want to draw closer to God. Guys, we are to love our wives. We'll hear more on that in a moment. In such a way that she wants to draw closer to the Lord. What happens when that's not going on in a marriage? If he is not treating her right, she doesn't want anything to do with you. And many times, it results in a broken relationship and a broken home. Because in a strange demonic attack, she winds up taking it out on God. If you ask her, Do you love the Lord? Yes, I do. But you know what? He's hurt me so bad. I'm leaving this relationship. And it's a strange thing. How many women have said, I can't take it anymore, the way that he treats me. And she transfers that over to her relationship with God. And she runs away from the church. She runs away from her relationship with God. She runs away from all of her Christian friends. That's not the thing to do. But a lot of men who just never took the time to love on their wives and to find out what that love should look like has maybe intentionally or unintentionally caused their wives to stumble. The way that God has called a Christian husband to love his wife should cause her to want to draw closer to Christ. I know that's a tall order. In Jack 1, verse 1, it says, let every husband... Oh my... I didn't know they were going to put that up. Let every husband read the Song of Solomon and the Book of Ruth once a year. Guys, listen, you need to do that. Every husband in the house, you need to read the Song of Solomon. Look, consider yourself blessed. In Israel, a man's not allowed to read it till he's 30 years old. So if you're under 30, look, it's a freebie here. You can read it. Just be near a cool shower. But every husband needs to read the Song of Solomon and the Book of Ruth. You should read it at least once a year. Why? Because something very cool. 90% of the Song of Solomon is the art of using words in the love language. Words. Song of Solomon. The words. Women are suckers for words. God wired them that way. Words. Have you ever seen a beautiful woman with a guy as ugly as sin? He probably treats her like gold. He probably says things that she likes to hear. 90% of the Song of Solomon is all about him saying, in fact, you know what? Well, I'll read it soon enough. There's a verse coming up. It's like, what? Oh, yeah. Song of Solomon, they're talking back and forth to each other. And she says, you know what? Your thighs are like mountains. And it's like, what? And then he says, your breasts are like two deer in the hills. What? All the men are going, where's that book? Where's that book? God has given us a unique love as men. We've been brought up in our culture to suppress it, to not express it, to hide it. We think we've been sold a bill of goods that it's somehow weird, off, goofy. When we were young and silly in love, we didn't think twice about buying flowers for our fiance or for our wife in those early years. We got the chocolates and we opened the door. We did whatever you did. It was all fresh and new and exciting. You didn't care what anybody thought. And that shouldn't end. But there's the other side of love also, where a man's love is absolutely special. Now, 90% of the Book of Ruth is actions regarding the art of doing love. Boaz incredibly serves Ruth, does he not, in that book? Solomon in the other speaks. Boaz does. Isn't it interesting that both those men of the Bible in Hebrew thinking equate to Messiah? Does not Jesus Christ not only say he loves you, but does he not show you he loves you? It's awesome. The Bible says in Genesis 29:18 down to verse 20, it says, now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban, that's her dad, said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. Look at verse 20, and all the ladies are going to say, oh. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only but few days to him because of his love he had for her. Oh, isn't that awesome? A unique love a man has. And it's expressed in a unique way. And sometimes as men, we need to articulate that. We need to show that. As husbands and wives tonight, you really ought to, I mean this, you really ought to just unplug the TV or just sit down somewhere without any interruption and begin to talk to each other and say, you know what, in light of Wednesday night's message, let's talk about something. Most families, most couples are too scared to do what I'm about to say. But for him to say, honey, can you tell me what is really vital and important and what means so much to you that if it would come from me, what is that? She might say, I mean, I've heard it all. It might be, you know what, that you would say this or that you would do this. And you, I mean, it's the sky's the limit as to what the definition is. It's as unique as a snowflake regarding your own relationship. Honey, you know what? Frankly, I wish you'd brush your teeth more. That would really mean a lot to me. Or she would say, you know what? I would just love for you, the moment you come home from work, I would just love for you just to walk right up to me and just ask me, how's my day? How's my day been? We'll either side with Christ and obey the scriptures and love her as Christ loves the church, or we will adopt the ways of the world. And the ways of the world is death. You think you're going to learn how to be a husband by watching the way the world does it? You know, in Orange County, if you've been married over 7 years, your marriage is a miracle. Hollywood, 7 months. Unbelievable. And so here's your assignment for point number three. It is this, guys. It's okay for us to be gentle, loving, kind, caring. It's okay to express your feelings to your wife. So you know what? This is what I think and feel about. This is why this is... And share. Talk. This totally goes against our grain. I grew up in a home, nobody talked. I grew up in a home, no one's... That's it. Well, I guess people... My dad said, take out the trash. My dad said, mow the lawn. That was it. My dad didn't talk unless something had to get done. My mom, she was... spoke pidgin English, if you know what that is. She was so hard to understand, you learn that after a while. But we'd have friends over, my mom would say something. Very quiet home. We had a big grandfather clock, and that's my memory of growing up. You ever see two couples out at a restaurant and they eat? They never talk. It breaks my heart. It really bothers me. They're sitting there, and there's nothing. It hurts. That's not even my marriage, and it hurts. I want to just jump in the table there and say, "Hey, how's the weather?" A husband can show so much love by just engaging himself into her world. Number four, being a Christian while being a husband in this world. And what does a Christian husband look like? Number four is that God has given us the ability, guys, regarding a unique word. Men, we have been given by God the opportunity to speak a word to our wives. And listen, even tonight, no matter how broken and tried and upset your marriage might be, God has programmed a marriage that when the husband speaks a word that creates, listen, that creates hope. When a husband begins to speak a word, it is amazing because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 1, Genesis 1. You know what's amazing about a man who's been created in the image of God and who the Bible says that the man's the head of the house and the head of the wife? You know what's so great about that? He can step into the house or to her world and speak a word and totally cause her to blossom into an incredible woman. Amen. It's amazing. You say, I don't believe it. Oh yeah? Well then reverse it. A man has the ability to walk into a living room and say something to her that will destroy her for the rest of her life. Don't tell me God hasn't given us the power to build up our wives. I believe God has given us guys as husbands the ability to speak the word of God into our wives' lives and it will change them. We don't change them. I don't want to change my wife. I do not want to change my wife. I want my wife to be who God made her to be. You know why? Because if that happens, I'll be happy as a clam because I don't know what to ask. I don't know what to think. But if the Lord has his way with Lisa, I'm going to be happy. Why? Because God loves me. You understand that? Yeah. So many people spend their married life fighting, building up walls, scar tissue, pain and hurt, numb, dead. And right before them, a word spoken can change the entire thing. God's word, when a man begins to pick up the word of God, and he can say it this way, honey, this has been a ridiculous marriage. I've messed it up. We've had our difficult times, but I'm telling you right now, I am going to do my best. So you pray for me. I'm going to do my best to speak encouraging words into your life. And guys, we need to do that. A husband has the power to create a world inside that marriage, inside that home. The power of a husband's word is amazing. Ruth chapter 2, verse 8. Ruth 2:8. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, not really. It's a term of endearment. Not his daughter. You know that. Listen to me. Don't go and glean in any other field. Don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. That was not legal. This is major. At this, she bowed down her face to the ground. She exclaimed, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? I'll tell you why. He was nuts about her. Remember that? He said, who's this cutie? And he began to show her favor. And look how he speaks to her. I don't care how recent you've been married or how long you've been married. Start speaking great words of love. Tell her, seriously. Tell her that she's beautiful. Tell her that you like her hair. Start studying your wife, guys. Look at her. Take the time to look at her. Study her from head to toe. And then begin to speak. You know what? You have awesome hair. Tell her. I've heard this before. Pastor, if I tell her that, I'm afraid that she'll get conceited. And I don't think that's godly. I'm serious. I was just pounding that guy for saying, but listen, buddy, compliment her. Because you know what? If you don't, Satan will find somebody too. Happens every day. Every day. You compliment her. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and for necessary for edification that you may impart grace to the hearers. Where do you think that begins? You think that's just the church verse? Oh, let's speak nice to one another. Where? In church? Forget it, man. I'd rather have you speak your husband and your wife kindly at home than at church. Because we're only together for an hour and a half. Maybe longer tonight. But home? And if you have kids, how cool is that? When your kids see, oh, there's mom and dad. How gross. They're kissing again. No, there he goes. He's telling mom she's beautiful. And she's telling him how strong he is. You know, kids make fun of that stuff and they love it. Makes a kid feel great. But we're not talking about kids. We're talking about husbands and wives. It needs to be spoken. It needs to be shared. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace and seasoned with salt. You ever order some food that's rotten? I don't mean rotten. That's bland. Bland. What do you do with it? Give me some salt. Man, a marriage should be absolutely salty. And pepper and all the spices, you know? It's amazing. So here's your homework before we leave point number four. Guys, start speaking words that build up your wife, that compliment her, that encourage her, and you'll see her just absolutely light up. Just start doing it. I don't want to hear, after service tonight, I don't want to hear, well, I just can't do that. I don't know. I'm not going to listen to you. Just do it. There's no excuse for you to just do this. Number five, a husband has been given a unique influence that nobody on the planet has Only a husband can influence his house to become a Christ-centered home. God has ordained a husband to have that ability. And here's how it usually goes, especially if you're just going to start now. Let's create the worst scenario possible. You just came to Christ recently. You have two or three teenagers in the house. And you come home and you say, hey, listen, we went to church last Sunday. You know, we had a good time. We accepted Christ. Here's the deal. All right. And you have to figure out when this works, because you know how everyone's going all kinds of directions. Maybe the morning's not a good time. Maybe it's in the evening. But, and I mean this, take 3 to 5 minutes maximum. Maximum. And say, kids, this is the deal. Get around the table. And I'm telling you, if you have to bribe them, do it. And I'm not joking. If you say, listen, get around the table, believe me, you're gonna like it. If you have to give them candy or a dollar bill, I don't care what you have to do. A dollar bill. Give them the candy. It's worth more than the dollar bill. Gather them around. Dad, what are we doing? What? Oh, brother. Oh, Dad's a big Christian now. What are you going to do? Let it go. Just let it go. Don't get in an argument with them. Let them. They're gonna go, well, what are you doing? Just listen. Get around. Come here. Up. Ready? Here we go. Lord, bless my kids. Bless this home. Keep them safe in Jesus' name. Amen. And then let them go. Listen, you say, that's no. It's got to be deeper than that. We got to take them to the Greek and the Hebrew meaning and the syntax of that. You'll ruin your family doing that. You'll ruin them. Your kids, I'm telling you, will just be delighted. You see, yeah, but Jack, we're not talking about kids. That's exactly right. A wife, if she sees that happening, she will say, you know what, this crazy nut, that's amazing. That's amazing. God has given us an opportunity that is absolutely, or an influence, I should say, that is absolutely spectacular. John 4, verse 53. It says there, when Jesus had touched this son, that the father knew that he was in that self same hour healed as Jesus had spoken. And Jesus said to the man, your son lives. And he himself, the man, listen, he himself believed, and his entire household believed. How does that happen? I have seen homes turn around dramatically when a husband gets committed to Jesus and that wife, she's turned around completely. Absolutely amazing when the man steps up. Unique influence. It's absolutely amazing. So guys, before we leave, point number 5, it's this. Influence. When a wife sees us husbands doing what the Lord has called us to do and influencing our wives, it's going to give her a lot of peace and a lot of confidence. On the same team. Number 6, a husband has been given a unique opportunity like no other. Only a husband has the opportunity to construct a house devoted to worship. Personally, this is a lot of fun because I can't sing. I don't play an instrument. I'm a terrible, frustrated musician type person because I can hear things. When somebody hits the wrong key or plucks the wrong chord or whatever you call those things, I can hear it a mile away. But I can't sing and I can't play a thing. But God does not know that when I'm in the shower singing to the Lord. I love worship. I love it. I just love it. I've had the most, sometimes just the deepest, darkest times when it seems like the whole world, you know, it's not true, but it seems like the whole world's against you and you feel like, yeah, man, I'm just going to go bury my head in the sand. And you'll hear the Holy Spirit so quietly say, worship. Oh, man, Lord, I love you. You know that. Can't wait to see you. But I don't want to. I just want to worship. I don't feel like worshiping. And what does he say? Worship. Worship me. Okay. Lord, I lift your name on high. You know what? And you bow down. And you sing with your face in the carpet. And you start singing to him. I'll give you 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You won't stop. If you think I'm joking, try it. I dare you. Worship him. Your wife would love to see you worship. David was a worshiper. He had a wife who was a nutcase. Remember her? I don't even think she even knew the Lord. Saul's daughter. David comes down the street worshiping the Lord with the whole crew, the soldiers, the army. They got the ark. Remember that? And they're coming down the street, and she looks out the window, and she looks and she sees King David dancing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord has done valiantly. He's almighty. Oh my goodness. The Lord's awesome. He comes up to the house. Whew, man, isn't God great? Well, well, didn't the king look like a big guy today? Worshiping out in front of everybody like an idiot. And he said, I did this before the Lord in my heart. And she just mocked him. And he said, that's it for you. And the scripture says that he never touched her again. I don't know if that's good, bad, or ugly, but it broke his heart, man. When a woman sees her man worshiping, she should encourage that. Guys, it's a powerful thing. An opportunity. The influence, I should say, is amazing. The opportunity is spectacular. The ministry, number 7. We're on number 7, right? Huh? We're going from 6 to 7, I think. Number 6 is opportunity. Before we leave that, then, let me give you this verse. Joshua put it very clearly about opportunity. He's just so awesome. He's like the General Patton of the day, right? Joshua, in chapter 24, verse 15, he says there, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, hey, Israel, you know what? You're going to choose. Each home's going to do whatever they're going to do. You're going to do your thing. He said, I'm telling you right now, this was Israel's leader. Joshua says, I tell you what, you're going to swing by my house? You're going to park the donkey in my driveway and come on in? I'm going to tell you something. You come to my house, we're going to worship the Lord. We will serve the Lord. That's awesome. The Lord has ordained us, guys, to be the one who responds to opportunities in such a way that we lift that dilemma, we help solve that problem when crises come or when challenges come, or we lead the way in worship in that opportunity when the victory comes. Hey, Dad, I just got an A. Or, honey, you know what? I just got promoted. All right. Yes. The husband should respond. We will respond. Number 7, a unique ministry. A husband has been given by God a unique ministry that no man can take, but it's ours. The ministry of a husband, listen, toward his wife, upon his wife, to his wife, for his wife, is the first step of any ministry that is of any value. There is no such thing, as we talked recently, there's no such thing as a successful ministry that's headed up by leaders in the church if their homes are a wreck. That is it's a lie, it's false, and it's absolutely impossible according to Scripture. The ministry first is for that husband to love his wife first. I don't care if you lead 10,000 people to Jesus Christ. In your home life, your marriage is a wreck. God is not impressed. It's not good. In John chapter 13, we made mention of this recently, where there Jesus shows his disciples, soon to be his apostles, on how to minister to one another by washing one another's feet. That's a powerful thing. How many of you are married? Raise your hands again. After service tonight, you should go home and wash each other's feet. Watch what happens. So you're not going to touch my feet. It's pretty powerful stuff. It's been said that good marriages take time and effort. It's been said that bad marriages take more time and more effort. It's been said that great marriages take more time, more effort. And it all begins with a heart to minister to each other. And we choose to do that. What were you thinking about marriage? Well, what were you thinking? Well, that when said I do, that this would happen, you know, and we'd live happily ever after. Living happily ever after is totally real. That's cool. You just have to define what that means. So too many people. Look, humans are going to fall in love until the end of time. But far too many people in our culture today have lost the whole meaning of commitment. And the amazing thing is, if you search down deep inside and you look at the Word of God is all about commitment. And you look down deep inside, your heart longs for a true and lasting commitment. And it is a ministry. So number 7, guys, is this. Our homework is, you're the only one on this planet who can make your wife truly happy. And that's the way God's ordained it. And you need to find out what it takes to make her happy. Now, you might say, Jack, you know, my wife, this is what she wants, you know. Well, in the context of this message, we're talking about Christian wives. You might hear your wife say, you know what, you want to make me happy? Want to make me happy? Sleep out in the backyard, that'll make me happy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in the context of a Christian home. Number 8, I need to pick up the pace. A husband has been given, number 8, a unique defense. A man is to defend his wife with his mouth. You talk down your wife, God's listening. Listen to this. You talk down your wife, the Bible says God will not hear the man's prayer. You talk down your wife, the Bible says God will not hear your prayer. That's powerful, isn't it? You're talking down your wife, then you come to church, you come to a prayer meeting. God's like this. Mm-mm. Not going to listen. Listen, we are to defend our wives and defend our homes. That's a unique position that only the Christian husband has been called to do. We're to defend. We're to provide. We're to secure. We are to be the protector of that home. A Christian man, in my opinion, this is just my opinion. Like Paul said, the Lord's not saying this, I'm saying it. Well, I'm saying this. A Christian man should never be idle. I don't believe it. Look, if you and your wife go on vacation, then be idle with your wife. But I'm talking about a Christian man should never be I honestly do not believe that Christian men can be bums. I don't think it's possible. You say, yeah, man, you're a hard guy. You know what? I'm just telling you something here. When the Holy Spirit lives in your life, you cannot be a Christian man and send your wife off to work and you don't look for a job. You're not pounding the pavement to make ends meet, or you're not handing out your resume or whatever. I understand unemployment's huge in California and, for that matter, America and the world right now. But you know what? Pick up cans or something. But a Christian man should never be idle. You be idle, you're going to get in trouble. You watch it. Satan will see to it. But this is a pathetic age. See, Pastor, I've been looking for a job for months. I understand that, and that's a heartbreaker, and it's a tough one. I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking about you. But a Christian man is to provide for his home. The Bible says, if a man does not provide for his home, he's worse than an unbeliever. 1 Peter 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his home, 1 Peter 5:8, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. Yes, unemployment's rampant. But look for a job, look for a job, keep looking for a job and do whatever it takes. But you should never, never be sitting home going through the channels. This is a serious thing. A man, a Christian man, is to provide for his home. And it's not just income. It's protection. Defending the home with mouth and with hand. If some assailant tries to break into your home tonight to kill your wife or to destroy you or to rape your children, what are you going to do? Jesus said, turn the other cheek. That's not what he said. The Bible says if you do not provide for your home, you're worse than an unbeliever. You defend your home. It's a serious stuff. The Bible says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. We are to defend them. And listen, we need to defend them because God tells us and He warns us. We better watch out because if we don't, if we get on the wrong side of them, our hearts will become bitter and we'll be bitter toward them. God doesn't want that to happen. Our homework under point number 8 is that our wife needs to understand that she feels safe and secure when she's with you. And that's a powerful thing. Number 9, we're almost done. Number 9, a husband has to be given, or has been given, I should say, by God, a unique mission. And that unique mission is this. I believe it's the single most important mission in all of the world that a husband, listen, is to serve his wife all the way through to the end. Did we not stand at the altar and say, for richer, for poorer, for better, or for worse, for in sickness and in health? You know who heard that? You may have forgotten that. God heard that. Ephesians 5, here it is again. I brought it up before. Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 28. I'll sum it up. It's just this. Husbands, you are to love your wife, and by loving her, you are sanctifying her, and you are leading her the way the Lord would have us, and that's a unique mission. And point number 10, it is this. Being a Christian while being a husband is a husband has been given a unique touch. God has ordained us, guys. A touch from a Christian husband. I wrote 4 things down. A unique touch regarding strength. A unique touch regarding security. A unique touch concerning affection. And a unique touch of adequacy. So many wives today feel so devalued by television, movies, magazines, newspaper, whatever it is, they just feel so absolutely nothing. Because in real life, you can't airbrush people. And a husband has an amazing power. And I'm dead serious about this. Husband, if you're not affectionate towards your wife in non-sexual ways, you need to ask God to change your heart right now. And you say, Jack, you know, I just have a hard time. I've got all these things. Take that to the cross. Talk to him about it. But listen, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 3 and 4 says, listen to this. This is the Bible. She is speaking. His left hand is under my head. Can you figure that in your mind? His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. You see that? I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Guys, husbands, it's tough for us. We're not brought up that way. We need to, guys, here's our homework regarding point 10. Hold her hand. Start holding her hand. Start holding her hand. Put your arm around her when it's cold outside or whatever. Put your arm around her. Well, here's what I wrote down. Touch her. Touch her a lot. Hold her hand. Put your arm around her. Squeeze her. Chase her around the house. Because God has given us, guys, as husbands, an amazing thing. When we open up our arms, come here. She's scared, she's upset, or she's tired, it's been a long day, whatever. Come here, come here, come here. And just... These are only 10 things. There's about 10,000. But we have to start somewhere. And tonight might be saying, Jack, I don't know, man, I don't know. Oh, listen, I promise you, start somewhere. Start somewhere, husband. We've got to defend our homes. You are so amazing to defend the definition of marriage last November. But you know what? We need to show the world what a marriage is. And that's got to start with the men. That's got to start with the husbands. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, all of us husbands tonight, in fact, while we're praying, all husbands, will you stand right now as we remain in an attitude of prayer? All husbands standing. Father, I pray for these guys. Lord, that you'd give us insight and understanding to our wives. That you'd give us the ability, Lord, to speak the word of God into their hearts. Lord, that we would build them up and speak kind words that edify. And Lord, in those areas that we're lacking and we just don't get it, those are those areas, by the way, Lord, that we confess tonight that we don't think they're important. It just doesn't seem important to us to sit down and hear about Susie's tea party. But it means everything to her. Lord, change our hearts. And Lord, help us also as we, as husbands, that we can communicate and provide and to watch over and to keep and to touch our wives in ways that honor them, that bless them. Because after all, we do name the name of Jesus. We do tell people, it is true, we say we're Christians, and that may very well be true, and I trust that it is. But it all comes down to this: am I willing to be the kind of head of a home and to be the leader of a house where I lay down my life first? And I gird myself and wash her feet first. Lord, baptize us men standing right now in your Holy Spirit that we might love our wives. And may the world say, what is that? That Christ may be glorified. In Jesus' name, and all of God's men said,
amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together. And...